He humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In Mexico City, there was a pious Dominican priest. Every night, he would go into the church to say his night prayers. And when he had finished his prayers, which he said in front of a large crucifix in the church, he would then, at the conclusion of his prayers, go approach the cross, bend down, and kiss the feet of his crucified Savior. One day, a man came to him in a panic while he was doing his night prayers. The man came and said, "He must confess right away. Please, Father, will you hear my confession?" Of course, the priest agreed to do so and brought him into the confessional and listened as he poured out his sins. His sins included a crime that he had just committed. He had gone and he had robbed a great treasure from a man's house. And in that process of robbing the treasure, he had been happened upon by the owner of the treasure. And seeing that he is caught, he panicked and he killed the man. The priest told him that what he had confessed was serious, but of course there is no sin that God could not forgive. But part of what is necessary for that forgiveness was that the man make restitution of all that he had taken. The man was a greedy man and did not want to give back the treasure. Moreover, he felt that if he were to go and return what he had stolen, that surely he would be caught by the authorities and he would be punished for his crimes. And this was a burden that in his mind was just far too big to carry. And so, refusing to make restitution, the priest had to deny him absolution. The man left the priest extremely angry, and as he began to think about it, became paranoid, forgetting the seal of confession, and believing for himself that surely now that this priest would turn him in and tell all that he had confessed to the authorities. And as this grew in his mind, he began to realize that he had for himself what he thought was only one solution. He must prevent the priest from ever telling the authorities the crimes he had committed. And so he resolved that he would kill the priest before he could let anybody know. Knowing of the pious practice of the men each night, the robber snuck into the church and he placed a very powerful poison upon the feet of the crucifix. And then, as night came, he hid himself in the shadows of the darkened church and watched as the priest entered back into it to continue his normal practice of saying his night prayers. At the conclusion of his prayers, the priest rose up and he approached the cross as he did every single night. But as he bowed down to kiss the feet, in an instant, the statue was animated and the legs of the crucified Savior pulled up and pushed to the side, so that when he went to kiss, he found only air in front of his face. Shocked by this, the priest looked up to the cross to see what had taken place, and before him it began to shake and quiver, and soon beads of sweat fell from the crucified Lord and dripped down upon the floor in front of him. And then, before his eyes, the perfectly royal crucifix, from feet proceeding all the way up to its head, went from white to black as our Lord absorbed into himself the poison. With this miracle performed, the man came out of his hiding place and fell weeping before the priest's feet. He confessed of having tried to kill him. He confessed that all that he had done in his wicked life, and he wanted to be absolved, and he was willing to accept any kind of punishment, any kind of penance, make any sort of restitution that was necessary. All he needed was to be forgiven of his sins. The priest took him by the arm and led him to the confessional, and there he made a full and complete confession. Now he was given absolution. He made that resolve to make restitution, and he would live out the rest of his days trying to serve God. This miracle of the statue is now known as El Señor del Veneno, our Lord of the Poison, and can be seen in the Cathedral Church in Mexico City. Our Lord humbled himself greatly for the purpose of saving mankind. He took on human nature. This was a great humility in and of itself. As St. Paul says in the epistle, that he took the form of a servant, but in reality it was far more than a servant, far more than a slave. He lowered himself to the nature of his creatures. He lowered himself to one nature that was far below him. And further, he didn't merely become man, but rather allowed himself to become the lowest of men, born into poverty, ridiculed and mocked, beaten and arrested, condemned as a criminal, spit upon and cursed, and died in the manner of one viewed as cursed from heaven upon a cross. He who was innocent had hang in ignominy. He did all this so that he may save us, that we would not die, not die for eternity. He did this all out of love for his sinful creation. And in turn, what does he ask of us? This is what we draw from this feast day. The simple request he makes is a return of love and acts of humility. That we, for ourselves, we humble ourselves before our Lord. That in our sins, that we find ourselves kneeling down and simply admitting of our guilt. That we confess to him who already knows how we have offended, so that he may take our burden and lift it from our shoulders. And he calls us to come and make another act of humility, and another act of love, one in which we unite ourselves with him in worthy Holy Communion. It is a mistake of man that we think to ourselves that God calls us to make a good communion because we are worthy in some way to receive him. He doesn't call us because we deserve it. Rather, he calls us because we don't. Instead, he calls us because he wants us to understand truly that price of our salvation. He wants us to be like St. Peter and to humble ourselves so that we may be washed by Christ. He wants us to come forward and to fall upon our knees and to purple our lips with his precious blood and to taste the price of sin, to make an act of faith in the true sacrifice that takes place upon our altars, and to make it that act of love, expressing both our unworthiness as we approach him upon our knees and our longing for eternal union as we unite his flesh and blood to our own. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.